The Maria Sanchez Show, a conversation, not a confrontation. On MariaSanchezShow.com.
California Latino Legislative Caucus.
Thank you. Your name, please?
Maria Sanchez.
Thank you, Ms. Sanchez. And your media outlet, please?
I am the host of The Maria Sanchez Show.
Last month, the caucus, we asked the Department of Homeland Security's Jay Johnson for the opportunity to visit the Ventura County facility so that we may see firsthand the conditions these youth are experiencing while being detained. We appreciate the Secretary's cooperation on this matter, and it has been an utmost concern to our caucus. The recent proliferation of detainees and deportations, especially among unaccompanied minors between 13 and 17 under the Obama administration's current immigration enforcement strategy, has truly been heartbreaking. We have expressed our concerns over the administration's deportation policies and the impact that it has on the communities we represent. We have also urged the congressional delegation to join us in demanding an immediate moratorium on deportation of nonviolent undocumented residents. As you know, most of these are children from Central American countries. Every day, unaccompanied children and adolescents seek safe passage into the United States. The firsthand experience today of witnessing these children, these kids truly embody the human spirit of survival. The will to survive is powerful in a time where, you know, other kids are worried about school or social media or hanging out with their friends. The kids that we met today their number one goal is to survive and to be reunified with their family members that live in the United States. The treatment that some of these children received in Murrieta last week was appalling, and that is not what America stands for. We should not resort to the failed, hateful Wilsonian scare tactics of the 90s. Our country is better than that, and I hope we see that this for what it really is. This human tragedy is really a humanitarian crisis. Recently, President Obama has indicated that he will take executive action to streamline enhancements to immigration reform. We hope that these words are met with action. We call the president to keep families together by expanding deferred action to non-criminal adults. We call the president to take action with compassion by considering refugee status for the children here in Ventura and other children who have escaped inhumane treatment at home. We call on the president to act swiftly and without pause on immigration reform, even if it means without Republicans, to create a fair opportunity for the over 11 million undocumented people in the United States. We cannot wait, and the time to act is now. I'm going to pass it on to our incoming Senate President Pro Tem out of Los Angeles, Pro Tem-elect Senator Kevin DeLeon.
Thank you much. Thank you very much, Senator Ricardo Lara. Just very quickly, and we have Senator Torres here as well, and obviously our chair in Latino Caucus will facilitate this call, and more importantly, we'll open up to a Q&A session. We just toured this facility here in Port Hueneme Naval Base Station. I will say, collectively, we did come to a conclusion that we were quite satisfied with regards to the conditions of the young boys and girls and teenagers in particular. They have 575 young boys and girls, teenagers, from the ages of 13 through 17. 575 young boys and girls, as well as teenagers, from the ages of 13 through 17. Many of them were in very good spirits, extremely well-behaved, learning English, reciting historical facts of the United States, playing soccer. We saw them playing basketball. We even saw a big group of them were actually reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and doing Tai Chi, believe it or not. We saw a health clinic. So we do tip our hat off to the Office of Refugee and Resettlement, Yvonne Vasquez, the director of that particular detention center in Port Hueneme. But ultimately, that is a short-term gap measure with regards to women, these teenagers. Ultimately, it's going to be what the U.S. U.S. government decides, and specifically that is President Obama. So with that, let me turn it over to Senator Norma Torres. Well, I'll turn it back to Senator Ricardo Lara.
We have now Senator Norma Torres, who is, if not the highest ranking elected official from Central America, soon to be Congresswoman, born in Guatemala herself, and can attest to some of the issues that we saw today. So, Senator Torres.
Thank you so much, Senator Lara. I think what we saw today, for me, it was, I was very satisfied to see that these children are being treated in a humane way. I think it's important for the U.S. To recognize that this is a humanitarian crisis that is impacting young children, very innocent children that have come here because they have seen that there is no future in their homeland. Many of these children have come here seeking refuge with relatives because their parents were murdered in their homeland. And my concern was primarily to see the condition of the children, and I was happy to see that they look healthy, emotionally well-balanced. Once again, the facility that we visited is a temporary shelter. The kids that are there are from anywhere from 13 to 17 years old. They are there no more than 2 weeks, and they are in the process of being connected with a family member here in the U.S. This is a group of kids that, at the very least, have someone here in the U.S. that they can turn to. However, there are many others that are being, for lack of a better word, warehoused in different locations that may not have a relative in the U.S. and may not have the ability to be able to participate in the activities and that the kids that we saw today are participating in. So I'm satisfied with what is going on here at this base in California, but I don't think that this is our final, these will be the final comments that you hear from the Latino Legislative Caucus in California. We will continue to explore and seek more information. By the way, we are the only legislators at the national level that have been in touch with the Red Cross, inquiring, you know, about the needs of children. Do they need donations? So we have been stepping into leadership positions where we have seen that there has not been that proactive approach at the federal level that needs to be.
Thank you. Next, we're going to have the senator who represents the area where the base is at, where we visited, Senator Hannah Beth Jackson.
Well, thank you, Senator Lara, and I also want to thank you and the California Latino Legislative Caucus for this site visit. I think it's critically important to focus on the plight of these young people. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend this tour, being on the East Coast attending to a family medical issue, but Carla Castillo, my district director, is there, and I have been following the situation. Look forward to continuing to do so. As the senator for this district that includes Naval Base Ventura County, and as the incoming chair and the current vice chair of the California Legislative Women's Caucus, I wanted to convey my concerns for these children and join the Latino Caucus in being a voice for compassionate and reasoned solutions to this, as we, I think, all agree, humanitarian crisis that has our nation's as well as the world's attention, to say nothing of our own state. And I appreciate Senator Torres pointing out that California, we take this very, very seriously, as I know they do at Naval Base Ventura County. And I want to thank them and the nonprofit groups that have been working with them for the incredibly hard work they're doing to address this difficult situation at the base humanely and compassionately. They've been dealing respectfully with these young people, and we've seen the hope and the glow in their eyes as they believe and hope that they're going to be able to leave a very dangerous world and come to this country and have the opportunities to have a safe and a good life like so many Californians. The behavior we saw in Murrieta, California, that Senator Lara mentioned, I think we responded to. I know I found their behavior shocking, as I think most of us have. And we all are here, I think, to say that our voices are to be voices where we don't cast blame, but that we call upon the federal government, the Congress, to join with the administration to forego the temptation to play politics with the lives of these young children and to work together to find a solution that, if anything, errs on the side of compassion, that understands we are and always have been a nation built on and by immigrants, and that we are the stronger for it. So thank you very much for being able to participate with you, and thank you to the Latino Legislative Caucus for shining the light on this very important issue.
And one thing before we open up to questions that we want to make very clear, it was clearly demonstrated that the community has come together here in Ventura and in Oxnard to provide the services for these children. We see religious institutions that are providing religious ceremonies. Local caterers are being contracted to provide the food. And so this is a completely opposite reaction than what we've seen in Murrieta. And this is one way of being able to come together as a community and see these refugees for what they are. They're children, and they need the support and care from us as human beings. And so very different here than what we are experiencing in Murrieta.
There are four religious groups that come in and counsel the children on their own as volunteers. And it was, I was really happy to hear how the kids they're very, very religious. Prayer is what they, all they have left. And their, you know, great belief in God, and the community here in Ventura has embraced that and has recognized that and has reached out to them.
So this time we'll take questions.
Can the moderator please?
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and then one. Star and then one for questions. Okay, the first question is from Pilar Marrero. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone.
Hola, Pilar.
Two things. Did you guys ask to see the holding facilities of the Border Patrol? Because as we know, that's where some of the worst conditions that we've seen were happening. Not in these shelters in Ventura, which have been toured by the media extensively. We already knew the conditions there was good. What about going into the Border Patrol? And the second thing is, Senator Torres mentioned that the federal government has not really been that responsive, and I'm not sure if you mean the Congressional Hispanic Caucus.
Well, what I mean by that is that Congress has been busy politicking on this issue. This is not a Republican or a Democratic issue. This is a crisis that involves children that are coming to this country seeking refuge from violence, from thugs, from drugs and from gang members in their homeland. And I think that the reaction from Congress has been very lacking of what we as a nation, as world leaders, demand of other nations.
Vilad, let me say that regardless of, as Senator Norma Torres just underscored, regardless of one's political affiliation, this is clearly a humanitarian crisis, and the response from the members of Congress, regardless of political party, and quite frankly, regardless if they belong to a Hispanic Congressional Caucus or, for that matter, any other caucus, has been lukewarm, at best, and just downright not robust, at worst. The expectation is it's much more higher to deal with what we believe is a humanitarian crisis with these children.
And Bilal, we have asked to tour an immigration detention center, and so we're awaiting that approval. But that also has been something that we've communicated with the Department of Homeland Security, that we want to see one of these detention centers as well.
Thank you.
The next question is from Jeremy White. Please go ahead.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to do this call. Senator Lara, you mentioned that you hope that President Obama will expand refugee status to these kids. Is that the caucus's position, and are you going to make a formal request to the administration that they do so?
Our hope is when we reconvene in August that we make this a formal request from the Latino caucus, and also working hand-in-hand, like Senator Hannah Beth Jackson said, these are women and children. And the Women Caucus, we're going to engage them as well to present a united front and show that we need to really work together on this humanitarian crisis.
And if, I'm sorry, just a quick follow-up. If the administration is unresponsive, do you see a potential legislative solution, knowing that obviously immigration is mostly a federal matter?
Well, you know, a plan that we're working on now is we want to ensure at the very least that each of the unaccompanied minors has some sort of legal representation, that we address the issue of gang violence in Central America, and that we coordinate better with the Central American authorities when we release these gang members into Central America. And second of all, to work with the Central American governments on holding it accountable for ensuring that their children, their women, are not, you know, forced to leave their country.
You know, to my knowledge, the only U.S. mayor that I know that had done any outreach to El Salvador to help them deal with their gang problem was former Mayor Villaraigosa from Los Angeles.
So I think it has to be, Jeremy, it has to be a much more comprehensive approach. We're working on a resolution, potential bill that we might be working on in terms of, as the president continues to indicate that he wants a speedy deportation for these children, when we know a large majority of them actually have credible cases where they're fleeing violence and they're fleeing persecution, that at the very least we give them a due process so that they have an opportunity to plead their case and have their day in court. Our fear is, given that the president's will to deport these children quickly, they're not going to have that due process.
And Jeremy, and let me add, because there's one truth that is always going to be certain, is that immigration is always going to be under the federal judicial purview of the federal government. But because of that, as you have witnessed with your reporting, because of the severe dysfunction and lack of action in Washington, D.C., you have seen the California legislature take a responsible and quite frankly, accountable role with dealing with the Trust Act, for example, that deals with secure communities, dealing with the issue of driver's license. You know, obviously, we don't have the legal authority to deal with the issue of immigration reform, but what is happening at the border is a clear, direct, you know, a manifestation of the lack of action on behalf of the members in Congress. And quite ironically and quite perversely, because of the lack of action in Washington, D.C., you have members of Congress denouncing and politicizing these children and these children's presence in this country, while they themselves have lacked the wherewithal, the strength, to deal with this issue, one way or the other, but they got to deal with it. This is lands at the end of the day on the hands of Congress, and they can politicize all they want on this issue. Ultimately, I think politically to their detriment in the long run. But because of the lack of action, lack of responsibility, their irresponsibility, this is the result that we're dealing with right now.
Next question.
Okay, the next question is from Amy Texan. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to ask whether you were actually able to speak with the children, and if so, what they told you.
And Amy, you're with the Associated Press, right?
Yes.
Amy, we were not allowed to speak to the children. We were able to see them during their classroom time, We entered a class where they were learning English. We visited them when they were doing exercise, and then we went into the clinic where they were receiving medical care per the instructions of DHS. We were not allowed to speak to the kids. We were just able to see them from afar.
The children did welcome us in English as we walked through their classrooms. They did say hello. So they are learning basic skills is what we observed.
The next question is from Henry Bubroff. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for meeting with us. Just a quick question. You know, given the government, the federal government's inaction on this issue, what's the likelihood that Naval Base Ventura County's center here just becomes a permanent kind of port of call for these kids? And as they are united with families or even deported, then there's new ones come in, and we wind up with a kind of a permanent facility. And how do you guys feel about that?
So according to what was reported to us, they have the contract for 120 days. They tell us that the children, the average stay is less than 2 weeks as they're being reunified with family or their parents. But therein lies the issue. We don't know if there's going to be an extension. We don't know how Congress or the president are gonna react to this. And so this is why we need to have a comprehensive conversation about immigration reform and how we treat these children as refugees. We know the process, when they told us there, moves very quickly. And they've been able to thus far reunify over 700 children in the short period of time that they've been there. And so their operating plan, their assumption is that they only have 120 days to be able to have this facility.
But this is also an opportunity, I think, for the president and for Congress to step in and demand more from the Central American governments. We cannot continue to simply send aid and then turn a blind eye or simply return criminals where they have no infrastructure and no way of dealing with the situation. The root of the problem is that it's in the U.S. best interest for us to ensure that we stabilize Central America.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it is not a stable regime.
Mm-hmm. And just a quick follow-up for Senator Jackson, if you're still on the call. How do you feel about having how do you feel about, you know, having Naval Base Ventura County as the host for the facility, and do you see some need for state intervention to make sure these kids are being, you know, adequately served?
Well, first of all, I'm actually very pleased that the way the Naval Base Ventura has responded to this. You know, again, these are children, and I think that the fact that we're seeing a naval base recognize the importance of treating these children with respect and caring for them when, frankly, no one else will, or there hasn't been any other infrastructure to do it, I think is a real credit to the base and to the folks there who are running this program and to the nonprofits who have been providing food and shelter and clothing for these kids. And, again, I think this is America at its best. And I'm very proud that they are in my district. Clearly, we do need to do something. That's not what the naval base was intended to do in the long term. But I do think that they are providing a tremendous service. They are doing an excellent job. I have been in touch with people who are interacting on the base and providing some of these contract services, and have been very pleased with the way they are dealing with these young people. And hopefully the urgency of this, and I think that's part of the reason that there was the tour today, the urgency of having to address this problem is one that will finally, hopefully, get Congress to act and to stop the ideological game playing that's going on now so that we can find a positive solution to this problem that is going to reflect well on this country and reflect well on the people in California.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Stephanie Guzman. Please go ahead.
Hi, Stephanie. Which outlet are you from?
Hi, Stephanie Guzman calling from the Camarillo Acorn newspaper. We're right next door to the base and cover the community surrounding it.
Okay.
Just have a question about what happens to the children after they are released. You guys said that about 700 children have been released from the base so far. Any idea as to if they're staying in California or if they're going to other states? And if so, are they given some type of legal representation when they do go in front of immigration courts?
From what we understand, the children are going all over the country, and they are once they are they identify a parent or a family member, there's an internal process that takes place where they secure and the identity of the individuals, ensuring that they are blood relatives, that they are family members, and then they go into an entire legal process to which where finally the child is given to either the parent or the guardian or sibling that's already residing in the United States. They didn't elaborate on the entire process, but they did say that these children are going all over the country. They're not staying in California.
And if I can add, the chief deputy of the governor's Office of Emergency Services, Nancy Ward, is coordinating with the Department of Homeland Security. So a lot of the specific questions can be gone through the governor's office as well if you have more technical questions.
Thank you.
The next question is from Phil Willen. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have two questions. One is whether you think Governor Brown should be more vocal on this issue. That's number one. Number two, there's been some conservatives in the state of California who basically said that as a general policy, some of the legislation passed in recent years to help immigrants in the state has basically made the state more attractive for undocumented immigrants. I'd just like your response to that. But first, I'd like to hear what you think the governor should be doing and whether you think he's doing enough.
So, you know, we welcome the governor's thoughts and his participation in this phenomenal, extraordinary issue with regards to all these children. So we do welcome the governor. Obviously, he's the chief executive of the most diverse state in the entire nation, if not the entire world, with the largest concentration of immigrants, regardless of their status in the entire country. So I think the governor's input and thoughts are surely welcomed. As we deal with this issue collectively. Can you go over, Phil, the second part of your question?
Well, first, to stay on the first part, I mean, you said you welcome his input, but do you think he's done enough to this point? I mean, I really haven't heard him speak to it directly at all. I mean, have you?
Like I said, we welcome his input. You know, I know I have lunch with him on this upcoming Friday, and this is an issue that I'll surely bring up with him as well. Obviously, he knows the presence, the growing presence of the Latino Latino caucus under the leadership tutelage of Ricardo Lara. He understands the changing demographics in California. Again, we welcome his full participation in this issue.
Do you think he should he have done more by now? I mean that's the what I'm getting at. I mean, he's been pretty silent on it. I know someone said some of his administration is working on it, but as far as talking to Californians, I haven't heard anything. Should he have weighed in by this point?
You know, this is Ricardo. I'm not going to comment. I mean, I can't comment on what he should have done, but I know that we have been working in terms of a caucus with his staff directly on this issue and have helped us secure a lot of the tour and have worked with us on trying to identify some of the potential solutions that we can do in the state. Now, I look forward to when I meet with the governor again to ensure that we fully brief him and engage him on this ongoing phenomenon.
Okay, next question?
You have the second part.
Oh, and the second part of your question?
Yeah, I mean, the second part was it's a general criticism from more conservative Californians. Really, I don't think it applies to these children at all, because this is a different situation. But in general, they've criticized the legislature for passing laws that make California a more attractive spot for undocumented immigrants. In other words, some of the policies that the legislature has passed is actually attracting undocumented immigrants instead of trying to not only address those here, but attracting new ones. And I just want to find out your response to that.
And Phil, this has come from, you say, conservative elements of the GOP in California?
I mean, this is more conservative. From Republicans, from conservatives, from Tea Party people.
Well, I'll say this, is that obviously California is no longer in an economic recession. We're slowly climbing out of it, and we're doing much better than we were a few years ago. So this anti-immigrant hysteria is not as acute as it was back in 1994 during Prop 187. I will say this, is that, I don't think these young children and teenagers came to California to get a driver's license, you know. So I doubt highly that's a magnet. I think that's just a pretext or an excuse to continue to scapegoat. What the world witnessed in Murrieta was something that was quite extraordinary, because you had adults, you had grown men, and you had grown women voraciously shouting out obscenities and chanting and, you know, pounding on the bus. These weren't criminal aliens. These weren't gangbangers. These were actually children, young children. And I think that there's a certain set of rules that exist out there that you do not mess with children, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you come from, regardless of your legal status. So if anything, I think this has given the GOP another black eye. If you want to put it within the prism of a political prism, this has given the GOP another black eye. It's two black eyes now. 187 in Murrieta, California is the second black eye.
Okay, the next question is from Jill Repugla. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rep. Lovell. Thanks for doing this call. I'm not sure how much you can answer this, since you couldn't actually speak to children, but I'm wondering what sort of sense you got of how they see their legal future in this country, whether they're aware of their status and whether they are getting kind of legal assistance and information that they need to know how to...
Can you speak up a bit? We can barely hear you. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, let me try this. So I'm wondering if, even though you could speak to the children, if you have a sense of whether they understand their legal situation and their options for the future, and whether they are getting proper legal representation or advice on how to proceed.
You know, this is it's very unfortunate, because, you know, we are talking about 10, 13-year-olds that, you know, if we look at the average American 13-year-old, I mean, you know, legal issues are the furthest thing from their mind. And, you know, what we saw today and what we observed from these children is that, you know, they are very much kids. They're not thinking about anything other than trying to live another day and trying to survive and trying to find, you know, a relative here in the U.S. They've suffered. I mean, think of the treacherous 1,200 or 1,000 miles that they've travel to get here. We have been getting detailed information as to what is happening with them, specifically in Mexico, in Chiapas, Mexico. We're also following what is happening to those kids there, and we have also been in touch with the Red Cross there to ensure that supplies are being sent and that children are treated as children, not as adults. Children don't know the legal process of this foreign nation. They only understand that coming to the U.S. means an opportunity to live another day.
And, you know, what we've seen is, just talking to some of the adults there, a lot of these kids, their number one concern is to reunify with a parent or a loved one. Some of them have lost their families and are eager to reconnect with somebody here in the United States that is a relative or a family. We were seeing, for example, some of the kids were getting a haircut because they wanted to look nice when they saw their mom or dad, because they haven't seen their parents in 4 or 5 years. And so, you know, these are real life stories that these children are living, and I highly doubt that they understand the legal ramifications or uncertainty that they live in when everything they've had in Central America is lost to the point where they're going to sacrifice their life to find their parents in the United States.
Yeah, let me add one last thing, too, is that, you know, these are young kids, and, you know, when they're fleeing hyperviolence, drug cartel members, gang members, and they're fleeing and they're looking for their mother or their father in the United States, these kids, although they were in great spirits by far and large, they were very well behaved, what we witnessed. These are young children. These are kids. They're confused. They have no idea what their fate is going to be. And obviously it's not, you know, the folks at the detention center are not going to control their fate. It's ultimately going to be a decision that's going to come out of the White House. But they're confused because their status is a limbo status. And I'll tell you one thing right now, you know, with this whole phenomenon, ultra marathon runners and these 100-mile marathons and 150-mile marathons, they have nothing over these kids. But these kids have endured, and the trek and the journey, these guys would put these ultra marathons to shame, just to give you an idea of how far these kids have journeyed under treacherous conditions, just to make it over here and to be perplexed and confused, to have adults just shouting at them voraciously, obviously to be detained. They're in a much safer environment. We were very impressed with the conditions they were in. But ultimately, once they're released and the fact they find an adult family member, they will have to go through, you know, due process and find out if they have a case that is good enough to warrant, you know, a temporary or permanent status in this country.
Just a quick follow-up on that. Did you get a sense of whether they are being connected with organizations that can provide them that legal advice and that representation?
You know, that's a very good question, one which wasn't made clear to us in terms of how these children are able to obtain legal representation. We know that they do have caseworkers. They do have social workers on the premise that are helping them through the process and helping communicate and find their relatives in the United States. After that, they are, you know, taken to another facility where the expertise of the caseworkers, they don't know what the follow-up process is after that. And so that's something for us to continue to research.
And so far what we've heard is that once that child is released, over to their relative, it would be up to the relative to find legal representation for that child. So that's a personal expense if they're not able to get a nonprofit organization to help them.
Mm-hmm. Last question.
Okay, the last question comes from Tracy Lair. Please go ahead.
Finally, everything you said, I've heard before. I want to know what their beds look like. What were those catered meals? And why did the Navy base tell Oxnard, I actually live near the base, why you know, they couldn't make donations? And I'm hearing that you're getting clothing donations. I mean, I want to know what you saw besides, you know, the what they tried to show you, like the Pledge of Allegiance. That sort of sounds bizarre to me. Well, what are they in barracks? Did the TVs build the new bedrooms? What did you see?
So what we saw were adequate sleeping conditions. They were bunk beds, similar to kind of a military-style bunk beds. We saw these makeshift classrooms where they're getting various lessons. We saw a big catering van, a truck, and outdoor restroom facilities where they are where they're able to shower, where they're able to wash their hands, and they have a prepared meal for every day. The quarters look very adequate, and they look like, you know,
what I saw in visiting, just, you know, I had a son that was in the military, and I visited the sleeping quarters where he was when he was at Lackland Air Force Base. It was very similar. The facility where these kids are sleeping was very similar to that. The difference were instead of single twin beds, there were double twin beds. The difference was in the decorations. I mean, these kids are painting, they're finger painting their drawings on the walls. They are, you know, there's a lot of information for these kids posted on the wall.
Thank you.
Okay, so that concludes the call. Just so for folks who joined late might not be aware, the legislators who are in attendance were Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins, and then members of the Senate, Senator Ricardo Lara, Senator Kevin DeLeon, Senator Norma Torres, and Senator Lou Correa, and Assembly members Luis Alejo and Lorena Gonzalez. So if you guys have additional questions, feel free to contact any of those offices, and thank you all for your time and participating in this call. Have a great afternoon.
And thank you for listening to the Maria Sanchez Show.
Maria's talking, so call Maria, her show is killer. You won't believe it, darling, there's long-time listeners.